A year after bird flu forced fairs across Iowa to cancel poultry shows, the competitions are returning this summer. 4-H members who raise chickens are glad that they should have a chance to show them at this year's fairs. Organizers banned live poultry at fairs a year ago because of the bird flu outbreak that ravaged the industry. Both Iowa and Nebraska lifted their ban on poultry shows this year. Carrie Weedy with the East Pottawatomie County Extension Service says the ban was heartbreaking for the kids, but they adapted. Last year, some fairs held egg judging contests and had some students give presentations about their chickens. The organizers are looking forward to returning to normal this year. Well, the farmers market scavenger hunt is an activity which was offered to all area farmers markets by the Iowa Department of Agriculture, or IDALS. The purpose is to help kids learn more about locally grown fruits and vegetables and the farmers in their community. Markets could choose to be included in that program. Youth participants use a form with a list of questions to hunt through the market. What's the smallest fruit or vegetable they see? What is a fruit or vegetable which grows underground? What was their favorite part of the market? They're also asked to check a list of all the items they saw and to visit with a farmer. Produce in the Park here in Atlantic has been offering the activity each Thursday evening beginning June the 2nd. Completed forms are then sent to IDALS twice a month and they're entered in a state drawing for prizes. One local person has been a winner. Tammy Stotts of IDALS says more entries have been received from Produce in the Park than any other market. Additional prizes will be available locally. Kids may participate every week they attend. Forms and pencils are available at the Cass County Food Policy Table at the center of the park. Dwayne McFadden, council member, is heading up the local activity. Well, leaders in the northwest Iowa town of Cherokee would love to see another company make use of the former Tyson Foods plant just outside of town, but they say the food company is making it hard to find a new tenant. Tyson continues to pay $130,000 rent on the building and refuses to allow anyone it considers a competitor to use the building. Tyson spokeswoman Caroline Ahn said the company has been in talks with three food companies about the plant. She said those deals fell apart, but it was not because of competitive concerns. Cherokee City Councilman Chad Brown says it feels like Tyson is holding the town hostage because it won't release the plant. Elsewhere in the news, police in Glenwood made a traffic stop early Saturday morning and ended up arresting two people on drug charges. Officers pulled over a pickup truck driven by John Leroy Adams of Glenwood at around 12:50 a.m. A check of Adams' license revealed he was barred from driving. The man was arrested on the aggravated misdemeanor charge. Following his arrest, an active methamphetamine lab was found inside the vehicle. Adams was then charged with manufacturing meth, a Class B felony. His bond was set at $27,000. A passenger in the pickup, Danielle Renee Evans of Glenwood, was also arrested and charged with manufacturing meth and possession of drug paraphernalia. Her bond was set at $25,300. Glenwood police were assisted at the scene by deputies of the Mills County Sheriff's Office and officers of the Southwest Iowa Narcotics Task Force. Officials of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources say a woman was fatally injured in southern Iowa Saturday when the horse she was riding fell and landed on her just before 2 p.m. The accident happened at the Stevens State Forest, southwest of Lucas. The woman, whose name was not released, was airlifted to a hospital in Des Moines where she later died. The Sheraton Fire and Rescue and Lucas County Sheriff's Department assisted at the scene. That incident remains under investigation by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. The Iowa cities of Grimes and Johnson have renewed their longtime emergency services agreement that allowed the two cities to share a fire department. The two cities have shared a fire department since 2007. The cities split the costs and share a joint station near the border of both towns. The new agreement will create an advisory board that will help to oversee the department. Johnston spends $2.3 million on the fire department, and Grimes spends about $1.6 million. The two cities split the cost of the joint fire station and the fire chief. A judge has delayed the trial of a man charged with murder in the 1995 death of an Iowa woman. The attorney for Stephen Klein told the judge Friday in Iowa City that he needed a delay because some of the evidence was missing or difficult to find. The judge said the trial would begin late March or early April of next year. Klein of Mount Vernon had been scheduled to begin trial on July 25th. He's accused of killing 38-year-old Susan Kirsten, whose body was found in 1995 in her burned-out car near Iowa City. An autopsy showed Kirsten died from blunt force trauma to the head before the fire. Authorities have said Klein was romantically linked to Kirsten. The Iowa Department of Public Health is highlighting this week as Tracking Week. And while it sounds more like something that would be celebrated by the DNR, spokesperson Heather Lloyd says it involved tracking information, not animals.
We get funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that allowed 26 states and one city tracking program to basically launch a public-facing portal that has health and environmental data in it.
She says there's a lot of data available that groups or individuals can use.
You could use it for numerous things, such as, one, trying to find out what's going on, particularly within your county. Most of the data that we have available right now is at the county level. We do have some data that is available for some of the top 10 populated cities. Some of our data set is so small that some of it is suppressed, but we're working to try to get as much of this data available, because prior to that, the health department had a lot of data. We just had a very poor way of getting that back out.
Lloyd says if you read the data and keep track of what's going on around you, you may be able to make improvements in your life.
Hopefully it's just to see if there's any kind of health trends or what's going on in our communities, and also so that community leaders can take a look at that data and hopefully drive some public policy actions from that.
The department is highlighting different things each day of this week, from air quality to climate and heat. She says there's more than just graphs and numbers.
So, for instance, if you were looking at, say, for instance, our asthma page, we would also have some just basic information about what asthma is, how it impacts people's health, and also has the data available for people to see how it's actually playing out within their community.
The goal is to keep people better informed and help them take action by knowing more about what is going on around them.
What we see is that sometimes people just aren't aware because we haven't been able to get this data out there to them. We finally, through funding, have been able to make this a possibility so that folks can see what's going on and hopefully taking action based on that.
You can find out more about how to track information on the Iowa Department of Public Health's website at idph.iowa.gov. And Iowans who spend a lot of times outdoors in the woods, fields, and other rural areas are being asked to help the State Department of Natural Resources count wild turkeys. Jim Coffey, a forest wildlife researcher for the DNR, said volunteers are vital to the summer survey.
We ask all Iowa citizens that are willing to participate to just, as they're out and about enjoying the wildlife this summer, to when they see turkeys, is to count what they see, the sex and the size, and then use a website to email that in to us, and then we can count those birds across the state.
The state is sending out cards to some 4,000 Iowans asking them to help count wild turkeys, but the eyes and ears of thousands more Iowans are needed.
This is our one and only way of really looking at production for the year. Turkey numbers can fluctuate quite a bit from year to year, and this gives us an idea of how the turkeys nested and the success they had this spring.
It's usually pretty easy to tell an adult male turkey from a female, he says, and volunteer spotters should also take note of the number of poults or juvenile turkeys.
We're looking for a few things. First off is the size, and the males are typically bigger, and they tend to be black in color, and they'll have a beard. The females tend to be a little drier color or lighter brown, and they'll be the ones that should have the poults with them.
The survey is done every year during July and August, as that's when it's easiest to distinguish the adults from the young. So far, Coffey says he's encouraged.
This seems to be a pretty good year. 2014 was a good year as well for us, and we've had some reports already of broods in the size of 4 or 5 poults per female, which indicates that we had good nest success and good survival, and that's typically very indicative of drier, warmer springs like we had.
You can find the simple survey under the Turkey tab on the DNR's website at www.iowadnr.gov. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.